Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be hearing from Ruth Finnegan, author of Black Inked Pearl. Ms. Finnegan is sending in her interview from across the water over in England. She pre-recorded this at her home, answering some questions that we sent her way to learn a little more about her life and her writing. Let's take a listen.
Sorry about my British accent before I go any further. Well, you know, it really should have been a Northern Ireland accent, an Ulster accent, like the lovely Scottish way of speaking. My forebears were, some of them came from Scotland. Well, I grew up really a nice Ulster girl with the lovely wit and tons of Ulster speech. And then when I went to the school I told you about, they tried to drum it out of me. I went to elocution lessons where they tried to make me speak proper in a really beautiful accent. They didn't actually have any luck. But when I went to Oxford, I'm afraid that accent sort of came over me. So, sorry you guys, I'm really quite English sounding. And I do hope you can understand me. I'm trying to speak fairly slowly, which isn't quite like me, because I usually gabble on and on and on and on, just like my wonderful high storytelling mother. But I think I'd probably better get back to the point, which is talking about my novel, Black Inked Pearl. As I say, I've had some amazing reviews, and one of them, a really incredible thing that she thought it was a classic kind of writing. And I've actually been wondering quite hard just what was meant by that. What do you think? Something called a classic piece of literature? I suppose one thing is it's the kind of text that you might study in university or in college or high school, because there's so much more to it than you see at first, and it really needs study to get past the, well, nice superficial story, but that there is something quite a lot more to it. And actually, that's what I found. Isn't that funny? So first it all came in dreams, and I wasn't really quite conscious of what was going on. When I read it now, and I've forgotten it, I've forgotten everything but just the basic story, I think, oh, what's going to happen, and what does this mean? And the amazing thing to me is that every reviewer seems to find something different in it. Some say they love the style of it. They're not so interested in the story. Others love the way that they had read the old style Greek epics. And here was a modern epic. And the old one, the Odyssey, had a man, a seafaring, very, very wise man, Odysseus, as the hero in his quest to get home. Whereas Kate was a girl. And she wasn't looking for her home, that island of Ithaca. But Odysseus went across the sea, swam, went naked to meet the princess, all to get home to his dear wife, Penelope, who was so faithful for 20 years. Would you wait for someone for 20 years? Well, of course, Kate spent all her life, and maybe centuries, looking for her love. And he wasn't quite so wonderful when she found him. Well, perhaps he really was. Other reviewers say it's something that you want to read again and again. And I think that's true of a classic, and that it sinks into your unconscious. Isn't that a nice thing for someone to say? I suppose also with a classic, you find something different in it each time you read it. and each reader finds something different. And it also that it is somehow rises above the context of here and now. We read Homer's epics now, what, 4,000, 3,000 years? No, more like 3,000 years later. We don't know exactly when he lived. And we still find it so fresh and new and meaningful for now. Possibly also we think of people like Shakespeare or James Joyce as classics because they changed the game. They brought about new vocabulary, new rhythms, new genres altogether. And actually, if I tried to be very detached and look at my book, that would, in a way, be true of that. As someone who is a great authority on African literature said, it's very much an African novel because it mixes genre. Every now and then it's autobiography, then it's poetry, then it's narrative, then it's epic, then it's song. In a way, creating something new that you didn't have before, or anyway, not in recent centuries. So the style also is different. It's quite poetic. It's very much like speech. So people who don't, I better warn you, by listening, people who like clear grammar and school punctuation and proper capital letters and sentences and full stops don't like it. So don't try it if you're that kind of person. Or if you just want a light bedtime romance. Well, it is a romance. I still cry at times when I read it. Like when the poor little dog called Holly, she was the name of my mother's dog in Ireland, oh, so faithful, with one blue eye and one brown, half brown eye, wall eye. She thought her mistress Kate was coming to heaven. And then she didn't, because she'd been left outside the gate by her lover, who just walked past and forgot her. That's the most, but in a way, all was awful. Really. The poor little dog, Holly, was heart was breaking because her dear Kate was coming and then she didn't come. So it's quite an exciting, sweet story in a way, but there is kind of more to it than that. Some people would say it's all symbolic of the journey of our Lord. Well, it certainly is a kind of a parable as well as, but I didn't know any of this, a parable as well as just a story. So I think I'll have to leave it to you, because I think each one of you, young or old, will find something different in it. And that really rejoices my heart. And I'm now going to go back, I tell you, and read it again and see what I find tomorrow morning in it. So good luck to you.
To Ruth Finnegan discussing her novel Black Inked Pearl. Tune in tomorrow and we will hear part two of the interview with the author. Thank you for listening to SBPRA Radio, and remember, read on.